do you want to know my name?
I want to know who I'm looking at.
My eyes don't look like that. Try to calm down, Holly Beth. I got my eyes. Where are my eyes?
I'm coming for you, Rachel. And this time, I'll get you.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Glitter and Gore. I am your host, Kaylee, and I am joined by my guest co-host of this season, Erica.
Hello.
It's so funny. You say that every time, and I'm like, is she going to do it this time? And you always do.
Oh, yeah, because all of my blogs, I start and I say, hello, I am Erica, and I am.
That is true. But in my brain, yeah. I wasn't. That's so funny. So if you didn't catch it from the title, we are going to be talking about American Horror Story. We're going to be doing the first six seasons this episode. Next episode, we're going to do the remaining five plus American Horror Stories.
Yes.
But before we hop into that, Erica, how are you? Anything spooky happen?
Spooky? No.
Oh, okay. Lucky you.
I will say, as far as like life updates, I mean, I did make the big decision. I put it in my vlog this week that premiered, which is, it's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. But I've decided to stop streaming.
Yeah, we talked about this independently.
Yeah, and I just made the decision. I was like, this is not making me happy anymore. I can't do it. And so not like I can't do it, but it's like for my mental health, I can't do
this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, I was like, I would much rather just stay with my YouTube and focus on the podcast and all of that. And I feel 10 times better.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Just my second news is like, I'm taking a barista course online.
Oh, that's so fun. I love that. I love that for you. Yeah. I was double booked. I was double booked technically still this morning, but now I'm officially just at this one house. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Because this morning, you know, the dog woke me up early to let him out, and I did. And then I came back in the room, I didn't have my glasses on. And I just see this like black, weird shape on the floor. And I'm like, what is this?
Uh-oh.
And I put on my glasses and I was like, okay, it's not like animals did anything. Like, I'm like, okay, what is this?
I flip it over.
No. And that would have been the reasonable thing to think. No, right. I flip it over and it's a magnet with a horse. Like, it's like a cartoon horse. And I said, where did this come from? Because like, I mean, there are two toddlers in this house. I mean, like there are kids, but they're not here.
Yeah.
There's not magnets on the fridge anymore. Like, I'm like, where did this come from? Did I step on it and not know it and like brought it into the room? Like, where did this come from?
That is so freaky.
I know. So that is why I'm a little spooked out. But
oh.
But you know, the other house that I was watching that I finished this morning, I let the dog out last night. So two nights ago we had like pretty bad storms, like pretty bad. Like,
yeah.
And I didn't even think about it. I let the dog out, whatever. And then I can't find her. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And she's like big dog. Like, she's gotta be like 90 pounds. He's a big dog.
Right.
And then I look at the fence and I said, oh my God, the fence is like slanted and she's in the neighbor's yard. Thank goodness they also have a fence. But I was like, oh my gosh. And then the day before I was triple booked because I don't know how to say no. And they have a pool in their backyard for their dogs. And I was like, okay, they're not going to run in. The older dog, she goes, books it, flies into the pool. And I was like, now you are soaking wet. And the puppy, she's like, okay, yeah, no, the puppy can't go in because he has a boo-boo on his foot. So we're playing catch in the backyard and his foot's bleeding again. And I'm like, oh my God. So I was like, this is just a series of weird events. But, you know, so this week I'm just with these ones. There's a cat who's allergic to dust. So I have to vacuum every day.
Me.
he's like the sweetest thing. He just wants to cuddle all the time. Like every night when I wake up, he's like right there laying on the bed next to me. He's very sweet. And then there's the dog and the sweet baby. When he was a puppy, this is before they rescued him. So when he was a puppy,
right?
Terrible people had him, used him as a bait dog for dog fights. So obviously the family I'm house-sitting for.
He's in the corner staring at you and it looks horrifying on camera.
I'm sorry. I know I'm talking about you.
I forgot he was there and it scared me.
That is really funny. But so obviously this family rescued them and they're like the sweetest family. And he's literally, this dog is so spoiled. And
he's the cutest.
I love him so much. His name is Popeye. I love him so much. He does look really scary in the screen though right now.
He looks like Boogeyman.
But it's like one of those things where people are like, here's my little side tangent, but like, you know, like any bully breed that I've ever watched, they're just like the sweetest babies. Like,
oh yeah.
I mean, like this, cause he's a pity, but he's so sweet. He's so sweet. Yeah. I mean, I think the scariest thing he does is sometimes when he gets excited, he like jumps and runs. Like,
I'm afraid of those little fluffy dogs.
Pomeranians?
Those are terrifying. They're vicious. They'll go right for your Achilles.
So funny. I mean, Chihuahuas scare me. I am more afraid of the smaller dogs than the bigger dogs for sure. I think you've nailed it.
That's what I'm saying. They're vicious. The most aggressive dog breed is Chihuahua. Do we want to do pick of the week?
Yeah. Okay. Do you have yours ready or do you want me to go first?
You can go first.
Okay. So mine is not scary this week. But so I've got I just became an AMC A-lister. I'm like, oh my God, I can see three
not
movies.
To brag.
No. Oh my gosh, no. It is slightly annoying because Illinois, you have to do the middle tier, because the lowest tier you can't do because it doesn't qualify in Illinois. You have to do the middle tier.
Ugh.
And there are still five states that are excluded at the pay level I'm at.
Oh wow.
So I cannot go see a movie in California or New York unless I go up to the higher level with with this A-list pass. But I digress. So I saw three movies last week. So I'm going to pick one of them, and I am going with Asteroid City.
Okay.
It was so good. I love Wes Anderson movies. And every time I see one, I always want to go and watch all of his other ones.
Oh, I know.
What the bummer was that the theater, the back row, which is where I was at, like, we would laugh at things, but nobody else would. I'm like, you guys are boring.
Yeah. Like, that's the worst.
I'm like, this is actually funny. No, what the worst is what happened when I saw No Hard Feelings and that couple next to me. That was the actual worst.
No, that actually is the worst. Was that movie good? I want to see that.
It was really good. I would also recommend it. It's not my pick, but it was better than I was anticipating. And I did not realize that the male lead was in the Ratatouille musical from TikTok.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That didn't register to me.
Yeah, no, I saw a video on TikTok.
That
I was like,
makes
wait, what?
Sense. Yeah. Like, just his face.
And then there's like a musical number in No Hard Feelings. And I was like, this all makes sense now.
Oh,
this tracks.
Did he play like Remy, or like, who did he play?
Yeah.
Remy's the rat.
But he played the one he was cooking.
Yeah, the one that's cooking. That's what I was saying. He looks just
like the human.
The guy.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, he doesn't look like a rat. He looks like the human.
Yeah, no,
and
he was the human.
That makes total sense.
Yeah, after I was like, oh, now I see it. I get it. Yeah. So that is going to be my pick for the week for Asteroid City. It was really great. I mean, it's got an alien in it. Like, it's great.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the cast is stellar. It's a stellar lineup. It's what I would want out of a Wes Anderson movie. What is your pick of the week?
Mine, I actually picked a singular episode of a show.
Oh, I love it. Okay.
Which I think you watch. Psych.
Yes.
Yeah. So you don't need to know really anything about Psych to enjoy this episode. It's called Tuesday the 17th. Oh. It's my favorite Psych episode. It's modeled after Friday the 13th, but it's hysterical. And it's,
oh my gosh.
Oh, it's great.
So, and that's why we drank did an episode all about like Friday the 13th, or like the number 13.
Yeah.
And there are some countries where Tuesday the 13th is considered bad luck, not Friday. Because
really?
Tuesday is ruled by the god of chaos. And I think that's why I hate Tuesdays. So
that's energy.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Saturn's in retrograde again. So maybe that's why things are weird with house sitting.
But maybe.
Saturn's in retrograde like 50% of the time. But still, it's valid.
How old are you right now?
I will be 28 next week.
Oh, so you're probably going through Saturn return too. That's fun for you. My parents love Psych as well. That's
oh yeah, hilarious.
That's one of their favorites. My parents tend to, my dad tends to buy like the whole seasons on DVD of like the show they're watching, and then watch it via, like, I pay for all the streaming services for the family, like for the entire family. My brother who lives out of state uses the stuff. Like, that is my contribution to the family, is paying for the streaming services, right? And I'm like, why are you buying the? I mean, I love the DVDs, you don't get me wrong, but I'm like, I'm paying for all of this. Please use it.
Yeah, it's like, let me get my money's worth. Oh, woke up with a spider on my face.
Oh, okay.
Woke
so
up
you
with
did
a spider on my face.
So you did have something spooky. You lied to me.
I did, but I also heard it's good luck. So I don't know.
I've never heard that before.
Look, it's good luck to have a spider on your face. I was like, doesn't feel like it. And it wasn't good luck for him. So
literally have never heard that before. Like, obviously, like I've heard the one where like if like a bird poops on you, that's good luck. But
yeah. Or like a ladybug landed on my nose the other day, too. Sure. That's right. Good luck.
Never heard of a spider, though. I think that that's someone just trying to make you feel better.
I think somebody's just like, she's going to freak out if we don't say that this is good.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Are you ready to dive into American Horror Story?
I have never been more ready for something in my life.
Okay. So as a little preface before we start, so I'm going to say, so ideally we're going to try to limit ourselves to 10 minutes per season.
Yes.
Because we don't want to have like a million hour episode.
I could go into depth for hours about Evan Peters' eyes, but alas.
Stop. So obviously, we're starting off with Murder House. It centers around the Harmon family, who, after dealing with the miscarriage and infidelity, moved to a restored mansion in L.A., unaware that the ghosts of its former residents and their victims haunt the house. The premiere was October 5th, 2011, so it was right after I graduated high school, and the season titles are Pilot, Home Invasion, Murder House, Halloween Part 1, Halloween Part 2, Piggy Piggy, Open House, Rubber Man, Spooky Little Girl, Smoldering Children, Birth and Afterbirth. So a total of 12 episodes for the very first season. So I have Murder House ranked as my number one.
Interesting. Okay. I have it ranked as my number two. Was that surprising?
No, because there are two seasons of this show that everyone rotates as either one or two, usually in a standard total generalization. So I'm very curious what your number one is, seeing that.
I would say season one and season three go back and forth more than Asylum and Murder House would.
I hear Asylum a lot. But obviously, Murder House, I think that that really set the precedent for what the show is. That's why it's number one in my book. Out of my ranking, I really went back and forth a lot. But yeah, so Murder is my number one. You said you're number two. So
yes,
it starts in modern day. So it takes place in 2011. And then it obviously jumps back to build the story of who died in this house, when they die in this house, why they can't leave. Mm-hmm. It is insane how many murders have been in that house. And they're like, yeah, sure, buy this house. And they're like, okay.
Oh, yeah. And that's retail, honestly. Like, realtors nowadays, mm-hmm. That's not, like, they don't have to tell you if it's past, like, 50 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
I had someone, they moved into a building that was an old mortuary.
Ooh, okay.
And I knew, because I looked up the house.
Mm-hmm.
And as we were leaving, I looked at the realtor. I said, so how many dead bodies have been in here?
Oh.
And her face, she just went white. And she's like, it was a morgue back in like late 1800s, early 1900s. There was nobody that didn't die, like that wasn't already dead or didn't die peacefully. And I'm thinking to myself, first of all, bullshit, because this is late 1800s, sure. Early 1900s. Somebody was alive and they didn't know. So that's number one. But number two, everything was still in the basement. The drains on the floor were still in the basement, the crematorium.
So what you're telling me is it was haunting in Connecticut.
Essentially, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I hung out like there and it was fine. Like, it was okay. Weird stuff happened, but it was fine.
Sure.
Like, nothing vicious, you know?
But oh, for sure.
It's whenever I saw Murder House, or whenever I think of Murder House, because I saw that place after I saw Murder House. So when I was there, first thing I thought it was Murder House. I'm like, no way. We got some Charles Montgomery stuff going on here.
Evan Peters is a critical part to this season.
Yes.
I mean, I dove down a rabbit hole of YouTube today to watch like other people's rankings of mm-hmm. characters and seasons and all of that, and he like consistently was rated like number two for like the most evil,
number one for most talented among the male actors.
I'm talking about the character specifically of Tate.
Oh, you're talking about the characters. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I was gonna say Tate was almost consistently ranked number two.
Constance is an icon.
Majority of the characters that Jessica Lange played.
Oh yes.
I mean, no one could do it like her.
No one
can do it like her. I was super freaked out by Infantata. I was
yes.
I loved the Halloween episodes when that reveal of Tate doing what he had done at his school
Mm-hmm.
And them coming back for him every Halloween.
Yes.
You could feel their anger through my screen. And which every right. Like,
and it was such a time too where I was still in high school when this came out.
Yeah, I had just graduated.
So we had just gotten done, like you, because you just graduated, but yeah. You still do them in college, but where you do your active drills.
Yep.
And it's
them.
So
they're important,
like,
but I hate them.
How realistic that scene was just unnerving.
Yeah.
But well, I think that's so important to show how serious Ryan Murphy was about this is a real situation.
Oh, absolutely.
And
I mean,
this is the type of person that does it.
You know, again, working in a school, I know those, I have to do those drills every year.
Oh, yeah.
It's important. It's terrible that it has to be important, but
it does. You do need to do them.
I think the characters in this are iconic. It's heartbreaking when Violet finds herself.
Oh, God, I didn't see that one coming. I really didn't.
And that was so upsetting. Like I said, I really think the Halloween episodes are my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Really didn't care for the rubber man element, personally.
No.
And I didn't care for it again in American Horror Stories.
I didn't like that for a myriad of reasons in American Horror Stories. I think that the rubber man storyline was important to show
100%. 100%.
That he is a monster.
Yeah.
Because the issue is, like, and Evan Peters said, he goes, the issue is people were falling in love with Tate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, no, we're falling in love with you, who happens to be playing a character. I would not want to date Tate Landon. I would like to date Evan Peters. I'll put that out there. Speak it into existence.
Oh my
but
God.
but
oh my God, that's funny.
There's definitely an issue when it comes to things like that of like separating for a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, I think that's why Tate is such a terrifying character, because you care about him. And then you're like, oh my God, you're a terrible person, but you care about him.
He's quote unquote lovable.
He is a complex character in the way that the audience is viewing him.
Absolutely. And it's, you want to love him like Violet did. Like, mm-hmm. That's how the storyline is set up. It's to make you love him and then break your heart like it did for her. Definitely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The Infantata story, I know I mentioned Infantata already, but that whole story is so sad for what happened to them and then how the dad coped. And I do like the...
That's based
like,
on a true story.
I do enjoy like the old Hollywood elements of it, you know, because it is in LA. Mm-hmm. And that house has been used in a numerous... Nope, hang on. That house has been used in numerous other shows as well. So it's an iconic house for many reasons.
It is the Fred house in Buffy the Vampire Slayer. That's where you might recognize that as well. Been in a few other things. But
like, so there's been a few other things and my brain is like, what?
But you can now stay there.
No way.
As an Airbnb, I believe. Yes.
Shut up. No way. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Vivian Harmon, icon.
Yes.
Icon.
Yes.
Constance Langdon, icon.
Yes.
Like, I feel like Jessica Lange can do no wrong. She's like good in everything she's in.
I am so bummed that like Connie Britton wasn't in more seasons.
Yeah.
He does that to me a lot because she did that with 911 as well. She was in like one season and then she came back for another episode and that was it. And I was so upset. Asylum season 2.
Yes.
Takes place in 1964 and follows the stories of the staff and inmates who occupy the fictional mental institution, Briarcliff Manor, and intercuts with events in the past and the present. This season premiered October 17th, 2012. The subtitles are Welcome to Briarcliff, Tricks and Treats, Nor'easter, I Am Anne Frank Part 1, I Am Anne Frank Part 2, The Origins of Monstrosity, Dark Cousin, Unholy Night, The Coat Hanger, The Name Game, Spilt Milk, Continuum Madness Ends. So this season has 13 episodes.
Yes.
Where does this rank for you?
Number 9.
Whoa!
I know.
No way!
Yeah.
It is 6 for me.
For you? Okay.
I don't know, any mental, like any of the mental institutions, anything with that, it always really stresses me out.
Yeah.
Because
I feel you.
It feels strangely like exploitative for people who are just not mentally well. So it's not my favorite concept.
I liked it because, I mean, as we know, like I've been to Ashmore Estates.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to Alcatraz, which is not a mental institution, but I think a lot of right. mentally ill people went there that maybe shouldn't have.
Sure.
In places like that. So Absolutely. That history always fascinates me, but I think it's also important to show that this did happen.
I mean, the history. Yes, I agree with you for the history part.
Yeah.
That I agree with. Like that is, it is important. And I think that's where, for me, sometimes it feels more exploitative because it's like, okay,
yeah.
we're not covering this in a way where we're educating. It feels, because it's for entertainment, right? So sure. that's like, there's a lot of that kind of, when it takes place in a mental institution, I was like, well.
Totally. I think what it did well, though, is it wasn't even meant to show what a mental institution is. I
right.
think it was always meant to show how people abused power in there.
For sure.
Where, I can agree with that. You're a homosexual, you're going in. Oh, you're not religious, you're going in. Oh, you're right. an insane doctor that just chooses to experiment on patients. That happened. Like, you know.
I know.
It was all covered up by asylums in the church, which is super unfortunate because back right. then with the, it was seen as quote unquote God's work.
Right.
And it's like, well, no, because that's, what about like God make everybody in his own image type thing, sis? Like, what's going on? Like, what are we doing? Like,
what's going on?
I loved to hate Jessica Lange's character in like the first half. The second half, yeah. I was like, oh my mm-hmm. God. Mm-hmm. But first half, I mean, she is the character that you love to hate.
Yep.
You're like, God, you're awful. What are you going to do next?
Right. Oh, 100%. Oh, 100%. Yeah.
And one of my favorite lines in the entire show's history, all of the seasons, is be careful when, it's something along the lines, I'll have to look it up, but it's be careful when looking at the devil because the devil's going to be looking right back at you.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. As said by Jessica Lange. And I mm-hmm. really like that line. It was, I believe it was the ending line of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really enjoyed that.
I like the name game.
Oh, yeah.
It's very fun. It's kind of this distortion to, you know, what's going mm-hmm. on. Introduced to Pepper in this season, which, you know, Pepper is a fan favorite and ends up coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Lily Rabe's character is, I think, one of the most heartbreaking storylines.
Truly.
For me. Because she is, like, her character is so devout in the faith and, you know, she's just trying to be good. And then she, unfortunately, gets, you know, possessed and taken Absolutely. Over. And then it's an interesting commentary on like, no matter how good you are, like
no one's safe.
Correct.
I think it also is like maybe an embodiment of the phrase only good die young. I think she embodies like a lot of metaphors of like,
yeah,
sometimes bad things really do just happen to good people for no other reason than they just happen mm-hmm. in wrong place, wrong time.
It goes like that mentality goes so against like my personal beliefs where it's like everything does happen for a reason and like doesn't always make sense, like it's yeah. happening for a reason and doesn't make sense, like, and sometimes it just doesn't because terrible things happen to good people all the time and it's like I don't understand.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like for some cosmic way it's supposed to happen that way and it's tragic and it's terrible, but yeah. sometimes that also helps me cope where I'm like, well, it's supposed to be that way. If you're running me from doing something, whatever.
I liked a lot of the moving parts of it. And I liked the twist of the doctors and who they really are. And that whole sub storyline of him being the killer.
Bloody face.
Of him. But yeah, that's what it was called. Ugh. Bloody face. And I mean, the lampshade story is a true story again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Lots of true stories in it.
I don't love when American Horror Story does aliens. I don't know what it is.
No, same.
It doesn't.
That's
for me.
Yeah,
that's. I think that's also why it ranks kind of low for me because of the whole like. I mean, and that's also a true story, right? Like the couple being abducted mm-hmm. by aliens. Like that's another true story, but it felt really weird in here. Like it. I mean, like it shows another way of someone getting institutionalized because of what happened. But the most fucked up thing for me is when she's crawling up the stairs is Shelly. But so Shelly was a nymphomaniac
And oh, that was Shelly. Okay, yes.
Yes. So the doctor amputates both of her legs and then continued experiments on her.
Yeah.
And over the course of several weeks, and then everyone just believed that she escaped. But, you know, Sister Mary Eunice, a.k.a. Lily Rabe's character, takes her out of the asylum and dumps her at a park where children find her extremely disfigured.
Yes.
And so
she's... Well, she is possessed.
Oh, well, right. Yes. Yes. I was like, no, Shelly isn't, but you're talking about...
No, but she does as well possessed. This is not just like a nun.
Correct.
Going AWOL.
Correct. I thought that was a given.
Right.
Yeah. No. So that was... The children are terrified. They think that she is deformed because of tuberculosis. And then she ends up getting confined in a hospital bed where she ends up getting choked with her... getting choked by with a rosary and then after being performed last rites.
Yep.
So that ends both of her suffering and the and it preserves the asylum's secrets. Oh, Unholy Night, obviously that is a murderous Santa. That's always a fun storyline. Oh, for
loved
me.
That. Loved that storyline. That was
that
really
one
good.
Came out 2 days before my birthday.
I liked all of the moving parts. I liked a lot of the characters. What broke my heart was Grace's character, Kit's second wife, as played by Evan Peters.
Yes.
That destroyed me because she really was crazy. And I really didn't want her to be. Like, I wanted it to be a huge misunderstanding of her, like, killing her family. Like, I wanted it to be, right, like, the aliens right. broke in and killed her family and framed right. her. And that's why they're together and da-da-da. And then he comes home to find his first wife, who has returned from the aliens, butchered.
Yeah.
And that... I was like, God damn it. Why'd you have to do that?
Right.
Why couldn't you just, and that's, I think, what makes American Horror Story is, why'd you have to ruin this lovable character that we all loved so much? This right. is what they did with Tate. They ruined yep. Tate. And
they like to do that. Looking at you, Ryan Murphy.
And it's like, oh my God, it's heartbreaking, but it's what makes it such a good franchise. Oh,
absolutely.
My favorite scene, Sarah Paulson's character putting up the tape and flipping the
oh,
in the
so
cab.
Good. Lana Winters, man. Yes. She's like, she's the only one to survive Bloody Face. That is a whole thing, but he does get her pregnant, which is also
fortunately,
which is also relevant later in a later season as well.
Yep.
So, you know, I did like it. Like I said, so that's the whole thing with this ranking that's so hard. It's like, it's ranked lower for me, but I did like it.
Yes.
There are two seasons that I really don't care for.
Oh, same. Yeah. No, two I think we have the same ones written down.
If we don't, I'd be really surprised. So yeah. Any final thoughts on Asylum?
Really well done. I could have done without the alien aspect. I think that it was an added little sprinkle of something that wasn't needed.
Sure, I agree.
Didn't hate it. I don't think it's the worst way that they've done aliens on American Horror Story, but
it's not the worst way. I can say
not.
That with my full chest.
But I think that like they could have just had the serial killer and the crazy doctor and Grace be crazy, and it still would have been a great season.
And, you know, Killer Santa.
Well, and like Killer Santa and like Winter's storyline still would have been good.
Oh, yeah.
And like Jessica Lange's characters still would have been really good. So.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I don't think it was necessary. I will mention that this is the first time they have a Killer Santa, but not the last.
Yep. Very true.
Season 3 is Coven, which is also a huge fan favorite.
Yes.
This takes place in the present time of 2013 in New Orleans and follows a coven of witches descendant from Salem. And they fight for survival and features flashbacks to the Salem witch trials in 1692, as well as 1830s, mm-hmm. 1910s, 1960s, 1970s, and 1990s. This season started in October on the 9th of 2013. And the episode titles are Bitchcraft, Boy Parts, The Replacements, Fearful Pranks Ensue, Burn, Witch, Burn, The Axeman Cometh, The Dead, The Sacred Taking Head, The Magical Delights of Stevie Nicks, Protect the Coven, Go to Hell, The Seven Wonders. So this also has 13 episodes for the season. Mm-hmm. Where does this rank for you?
Number 4.
This is number 3 for me.
Okay. Well, it's a third season.
No, well, that's... I think my number 2 is going to upset some people. It's okay. I really do, but it's okay.
I know that my number 3 is going to upset people and know it.
Oh, that's so funny.
I know that there's a few of them that are going to upset people.
So
I will say, for double feature, I did technically break them up into two parts.
Oh, well, if you would have told me that, that would have changed my rating, but it's fine.
I would say I just didn't feel right pairing the first half.
Kept them together. Yeah, but
for sure. Go for it.
That's fair. So I went back and forth with Coven a lot because I love this season. It is one of the, I think it's the only season I own on DVD.
Oh, really?
Yes. Okay. I love New Orleans. I love the, you know, the lore to it. There's a lot of authenticity to it in this season where, I mean, obviously, I love that the first episode's called Bitchcraft. Like,
oh, yeah.
I love that. You know, and the whole thing with, I must just call her Violet, and that's not her character this season.
Oh, I know. I'm going to do that the whole time.
But, you know, like when the powers of the, you know, the witchcraft that the girls are, you know, how you find out that they are witches is so fun.
Well, like Madison Montgomery found out that she was a witch when she had like tried to have like a stage light fall on someone.
Yes. She,
like that's when she knew.
Emma Roberts, man. I think that
I had mixed feelings about Emma Roberts
as a person
herself. Yes.
Valid. I think that her addition to American Horror Story makes sense.
No, her characters are very, very good. She is good at what she does.
Like, I mean, I will forever think of her first with Unfabulous, the Nickelodeon show.
Oh, yeah.
But then, you know, obviously she crushed it in Scream. She was in Scream Queens, Scream 4.
Yep.
She's great. Queens. And then obviously she's in American Horror Story. Like, it makes sense. She kind of fits the horror genre. So
totally.
Zoe is the one who finds out that she is a witch because she kills her boyfriend by having sex with him.
It was an accident.
That whole thing. I was like, oh my God, this is terrible. And then, you know,
I was like, oh my God, he had a brain aneurysm. What?
And then when she falls for Kyle at the party and then he dies. So then they bring him back to life. Like they really like to bring people back from like the dead and like any way they can.
I think that was so cool though.
Oh, absolutely. And it's like
for like Frank and Kyle, he was cool.
Well, and it's like because he's like he's there, but it's not him. Right. Like it's just, again, it's
he is there, but cells in the brain have died.
Absolutely.
He knows who she is.
Yeah.
He recognizes himself, but he also we see him before he is able to communicate later on as provided by witchcraft was that he looks at his body parts and he knows that it's not
it's
him.
It's not him. Right.
These aren't his body. Like he looks at one of the tattoos and we get a flashback of him and the boys going and getting tattoos for the frat and da da da. And we learn about his tragic storyline as well before the accident.
Right.
Which heartbreaking. But I also love Misty Day's magic mud that just makes like the scarring so minimal.
Misty Day is one of my favorite characters in American Horror Story history. I love this season. I love Stevie Nicks. I love Stevie Nicks
day in,
day out. So I love that she's tied into this and she's in this and, you know, in this season. And I love
that she was down. She's like, yeah, let's go. I want to be Stevie Nicks, though. She wanted to be her. I love that.
Queenie figuring out that she's, you know, when she shows off her stuff and she just sticks her hand in the fryer. Like,
yeah.
Crazy. And I love that they are just this like hodgepodge of women who are, you know, like Madison's. She's a celebrity, so she's got her entitlement, and Zoe's just like, I just want to be normal and just have a relationship and just live my life, and the trials that they go through when it comes to,
and Queenie's hilarious.
Oh my God, she's so good. So a big part of the season is who's the next Supreme.
Yes.
And, you know, when they go through the trials and then they die and then it ends up being Cornelia, which is Sarah Paulson's character. And I also love Cornelia. I was like, if it's not her, I'm going to flip a table. And I love that she brings Zoe back like right away. She's like, okay, come on, Zoe. Let's go.
We need the coven. again, Jessica Lange's character. Perfect in it.
Oh, yeah.
You love to hate her.
Uh-huh.
And again, great lines for her in this season, especially.
Well,
just wear something black, iconic throughout the franchise now.
Yeah.
And everywhere.
The actress who plays Nan in the season was also Constance's daughter in season one that we totally skipped over. And I loved her in season one. I love her in this one. Let me see how to say her name because I don't want to screw it up. So, easy name. Jamie Brewer. She is phenomenal. And I would have loved to see her in more seasons.
I hope that they bring her back for like maybe even this newest season.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it would be such a nice surprise of like, oh my God, she's finally back. But like, Nan, iconic character, sassy as shit, like, does not take any shit from these girls. And I love that she basically tells Madison to shove it within like the first few minutes of their interaction.
And then she played Addie in season one. Totally.
Yes.
I mean, she's critical to the plot of season one. I'm sorry. I had to go back to Murder House for a second because I don't know how we missed it.
That one, I would say Murder House had so many ghosts. I think that's why.
But like.
And you just, your heart breaks for her in season one.
Yes. Absolutely. That's that whole, the whole Langdon family. I'm just like, this is rough.
Yeah. And even in this season, you know, your heart breaks, but also she's like, even as a ghost, she's like, I'd rather go with him than stick around here with you guys. Bye. Yep. Just dips.
I also loved the Marie Laveau aspect. I feel like you could not do New Orleans without talking about her.
Yes.
And
Kathy Bates was a perfect choice.
That's not who I was talking about, though.
I'm mixing up French names.
You're thinking of
Delphine. Sorry. I'm mixing up French.
I love that they brought in Marie Laveau because she is such a critical part of history for New Orleans, as well as Delphine, because she is a nightmare person, and that is a nightmare fuel. Yeah. Marie Laveau, when I was in my undergrad, when I took American Gothic Literature, we read a couple of different things about her, and I was just like, yes. Yes, let's go. But you know,
I mean, you hear about her all throughout Louisiana.
Oh yeah, and there's like different gravesites and which one's the real one. And I mean, she is so rooted in the lore of New Orleans that it's just like, yeah.
Well, even then, when I was at the Myrtles,
mm-hmm.
in Louisiana, you still hear about her. They're like, legend says. I'm like, wow, she was really everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, right. That was in the two books we read with her as central characters. I was like, I'm here for this. But then Delphine obviously is, you see it. It's the first thing you see in season three. And how she just tortured her, you know, her slaves and everything. And it's so, it makes me feel so ill because that was real. Like that was not like an exaggeration. That is actually something that happened in history.
It's not made up. No. It's drawn directly from a house that I think you can still tour today. Mm-hmm. It's still up. I think Kathy Bates was the absolutely correct choice.
Oh,
I think
most terrifying role since Misery, hands down.
Yes, absolutely. I think the only other person that maybe might have been able to pull it off in that scary of a way, maybe Rosie O'Donnell, if she took it super seriously. But then again, Rosie's a comedian. So like, you know, I think that we would have been waiting for the laugh, which is why I think that Kathy Bates is definitely the best choice. With her character, I mean, you see her grow as a character.
Oh, yeah.
But then again, at the end of the day, she is who she is. When she's moved to tears, when she's a decapitated head.
those scenes where it's just her head. And then, so the whole thing is, that is Marie Laveau getting revenge on her. That is what that is. She's like, you will suffer. You are going to outlive your entire family. You're going to see your lineage die.
Yes. And, you know, it was Queenie put on, I believe, a movie for her about the civil rights movement. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it was. And, you know, her character gets moved to tears and you see like, oh my gosh, like, we've changed this heart with her seeing the history and da da da, just for her to go back and be like, well, people are telling my history wrong. So I've decided to just take over the tour and make myself sound great. I'm like, damn it. You could have been great.
You could have grown, but you didn't.
You could have been great, but you're still just a sociopath at the end of the day.
So one of the YouTube videos I was watching today, it talked about Papa Legba, who is like the keeper of the spirit worlds. And that is, so the actress who plays Queenie, she had talked about, so there's like a part where she has to like chant this like mantra to like summon him in the, and things started happening, like spiritually started happening on set. And then
I heard about this.
Yeah. And then later, you know, then she ends up doing what she needs to. And then it's good for a while. But then at the end, they have to do it again. And no one's getting the pronunciation right. So she's like, oh, shoot, I got to do it again. And that's when I'm like, yeah, I don't like to mess with that stuff. That's like.
I skipped that scene.
Did you really? Okay,
I skip
fair.
It. I fast
fair.
Forward. Yeah. I'm like, nope, no, no, mm-hmm. not today. No, sir.
It was kind of funny when I was like, do you? And I was like, no, yeah, you, yes, you do.
I was like, nope, I don't mess with that. Absolutely not. No.
Mm-mm.
It's what it's, you feel how you want to feel about voodoo. I'm not risking it.
My aunt is a voodoo priestess. So she and I had a whole conversation about like hoodoo, voodoo, and then like Hollywood voodoo. And it's really interesting. And I've been to New Orleans and it's one of those things where it's kind of like once you tap into your like all knowing self and whatnot, you feel those energies there and you're like, all right, you have to protect yourself and be smart. You know, and it's, I mean, it's very like, I love learning and I love, you know, I love the vibe, but there's definitely times where I'm like, oh, nope.
I mean, you know me, I have my tarot, I have my crystals, I have my planets, all of that. And, you know, I believe what I believe. But I will say there's been times when I walk into a room and walk straight back out. Yeah. Nope.
Nope.
Absolutely not. Nope. And you can just as a person, you can just sense it.
Oh, absolutely. And there's lately I've been saying return to sender. No, thanks.
Yeah, it's like
return to sender, no thanks.
No matter what your beliefs are, as a person, you can walk in a room and feel if something's off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's done. But it's so I always skip that scene.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's smart.
I'm sure her acting is phenomenal. I saw it once.
Oh yeah.
Never watched it again. But
literally, she is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Before we move past Coven, I do want to talk about another, like this to me had a lot of history too, because it also had the Axeman.
Mm-hmm.
And that story is so insane. So I remember reading it was like a graphic novel of it, but it was like small, but it like tells the story of what it was. And essentially to save yourself, it was, you had to play jazz music or else he would come and get you. And it, in a biblical way, it reminds me of when they had to put the blood on the door, you know, and, you know, to be like, okay, this will pass over you if you do this. So it's kind of, because in a weird biblical way, that's also kind of how the X-Man was operating, was like, if you play the jazz music, then we're good.
Well, that's also like how jack-o'-lanterns came to be.
Yeah.
You put a jack-o'-lantern out because it scares away evil spirits from entering your house.
Mm-hmm.
So that concept has always been there, but there was an Axeman of New Orleans.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, and that was...
Yeah,
and
that was killing people for not playing jazz.
Yep.
And then he just disappeared one day. Nobody knows what happened to him. Mm-hmm. So I like that they took that storyline and they were like, here's what happened to him.
Well, right. So I mean, like, and that's... So yeah, I really... You know, and of course, now that I'm talking about, you know, Coven, I'm like, oh, is it higher? I'm like, no, three is right. So...
I agree with my standing at 4.
You know, I was just like, totally. I love this season so much, but...
I liked their personal house.
Yeah.
They were great. They were great representations of each person, of like Madison's is, you know, working in retail.
Yep.
Can't imagine it. Her nightmare.
I'm sorry. As someone who's worked in management, like retail management for literal years, it is still my personal.
It is. Queenie's back working at the chicken place.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And Misty Day has to dissect a frog.
A live frog, not just a frog.
A live frog. Yeah, repeatedly. And then we never saw Zoe's, but Zoe woke up from one of the wonders and said, oh my God, it was awful. It was just Kyle telling me over and over again that he didn't love me and he hated me. That's the only one I didn't like. Because I'm like, that's your biggest problem? That's your biggest fear?
Well, okay, but I feel like...
You are a witch.
Okay,
you
can devil's advocate for it, though. I think there's some guilt to bringing him back because he's not.
Yeah.
So I think that might be what it is that he's, so him saying that to her is saying like, they should have just let him die. Only,
all right,
I will,
that's
like
fair.
I said, I'll play devil's advocate on that one. But if it's not for that reason, then I agree with you.
Yeah. All she said was like, it was just Kyle breaking up with me and saying he doesn't love me over and over. I'm like, that's your personal house.
Right.
I'm like, that's a Tuesday for most single people. What do you
stop? Oh, that's funny.
You have had an easy life, ma'am.
Except for when she like killed her other boyfriend by having sex with him. But
well,
you know,
until then. Well, which that's my point. Wouldn't you think that would be her personal hell of reliving that moment?
Sure.
Wouldn't that be worse?
Maybe it's both. Maybe it was all of the men.
Facts. Oh, just saying. We just made a conspiracy theory.
You heard it here first. Season 4, which is Freak Show.
Yes.
This one is set in 1952 in Jupiter, Florida, and tells the story of one of the last remaining freak shows in the United States and their struggle for survival. The start date for this one is October 8th, 2014. So pretty consistently coming out in October, beginning of October, year after year. Show titles are Monsters Among Us, Massacres and Matinees, Edward Mordrake, Part 1, Edward Mordrake Part 2, Pink Cupcakes, Bullseye, Test of Strength, Bloodbath, Tupperware Party Massacre, Orphans, Magical Thinking, Showstoppers, Curtain Call, another season with 13 episodes. Where does this rank for you?
This is my number one.
Okay, it's my number two.
I love it. It's my favorite season. Okay. I rewatch it constantly.
It's so funny. You're like, I don't know, my number one. I was like, no, I'm like, okay, it's literally my two. So, and yeah. Wait, and is your second one Murder House?
Yes.
So ours is just flipped. So
we flip flop. Yeah.
That's it.
Yep. I rewatch it all except for Edward Mordrake 1 and 2 because they make me really sad.
Yeah. Again, and I do want to applaud that American Horror Story does tie in a lot of like historical things.
Yes.
Like they're giving it roots. And then, I mean, obviously there's a lot of dramatization of it and exaggerations, but there are roots of reality to it. Like, yeah. Evan Peters' character, like Lobster Boy, was a very real person. Mm-hmm. Not a great person, but a person.
But a person. Yeah. Same with the tall woman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to be insensitive when I say these things. The super strong man, the tall woman, the conjoined twins.
Oh, yeah.
I think they were always called conjoined twins, weren't they? I don't think they had another name back then. And then there was the three-breasted woman, which was also a real freak show attraction as well. Meep. I forget what he was called, but he was Meep. I forget what his sideshow name was, like what they called him, of like the chicken man, chicken boy or something.
So they're based on real people. So Jimmy Darling, which is Evan Peters' character, Grady, Lobster Boy. So Jimmy Darling in the show, but Lobster Boy. So Grady, Lobster Boy, Styles Jr. And then there is Paul, the Illustrated Seal,
mm-hmm.
Which was Stanley Barrett. You know, and that storyline always made me so sad because, and then of course with Freak Show, there is also with Twisty the Clown, it is tied to John Wayne Gacy.
Of course.
This article is really great. This is Screen Rant.
Yeah.
But so it talks about the true story behind Elsa Mars. So it's a tragic history. It represents the tragic history of prostitutes serving as the primary targets for lethal or non-lethal violence. Her beginnings in 1930s Germany are inspired by the same events that inspired cult classic Cabaret.
Oh, no way.
Yes.
Wow.
So she's not based off of like a specific person, but it is showing, is depicting what was going on at the time.
Yeah. Because like those were real people in the freak shows. I, again, am into like asylums and spooky stuff and spooky history. So I did deep dive into
I love spooky freak shows. Have you seen Freaks, the movie?
I think so. Yeah.
Like the 1930s. Maybe 1940s.
I think I would have to check again, but I think I have. Yeah. Just the dehumanizing names. Let's be realistic about it.
100%.
Yeah. It's all their dehumanizing names. But what I love is that they casted people that had like what was described of their character. That's what I was trying
it
to
was,
come up with.
They weren't. There's only a few characters where they adapted their looks.
I think it's only Sarah and Evan.
Correct. I think so.
Yeah.
You know, which I think is,
I don't think anybody else,
which
did.
I think is really cool.
Or no, the three-breasted woman. So Angela plays her and she changed her appearance of just wearing a third prosthetic breast, but that's not a big deal.
No. Like, so, I mean, so if you look at it, I mean, there's really only a few characters that
changed. They have Ma Petite, who is the world's smallest woman.
Mm-hmm.
They have, the world's tallest woman, I forget her character's name, but her name in real life is Erica.
Love that.
Spelled the same way. the guy who plays the Australian, what do they call him? The seal boy in the show.
Mm-hmm.
He actually was born with that like arm condition.
Yeah.
But what I liked about him is he gave his interview and he's like, yeah, my mom, that like the doctors said to my mom, like, I'm so sorry, da da da. And she goes, I don't know what they were apologizing for. You had the most beautiful face. You were healthy. And he said, you know, my mom wasn't going to allow me to grow up feeling like this was an ailment. So like he has a black belt.
I know.
In like so three different cool. martial arts or something. Like he's so talented. And he's like, and I wanted to do this.
Well, and like I said,
he's like, I saw this part and I was like, this is my part. And I was like, yeah.
I mean, I love it. It's one of those things where it's, you're giving, you know, this very talented cast an opportunity to shine.
Totally. And what I love about that season two is it gave them not only the opportunity to be on TV, but like we learned a lot about them.
What liked about this season two?
I said this, what I liked about this season as well.
Got it. I was like, season two? We're talking about four? Or we're talking about, here, we're talking about four. Sorry.
What I liked about this season as well is that it not only gave them the screen time and didn't make them like a joke, but it also, you learned a lot about them. They had like individual interviews and each person had like their own little 10-minute segment. And I feel like I learned so much about these characters that I wish that they would do for other actors on there too. But at the same time, it's like, I'm glad that this is the season they decided to start doing that.
So
like, here is everyone behind.
Yeah. Oh, I know. That was so cool.
What makes this what it is.
Those behind the scene interviews were so good.
I loved them.
So Erica was, her character's name was Amazon Eve.
Amazon Eve. That's right.
And then there is, so it was, so Matt Fraser is who had the seal-like.
Yes.
Arms. So his character's name was actually Paul the Illustrated. So it was Paul the Illustrated Seal. You were correct. I mean, he's got 25 acting credits. I love this.
Oh, yeah.
I love
He's this. Hilarious, too. His interview had me cracking up.
Oh, I mean, all of them. That's what I loved about this season. And then Emma Roberts' character this season is working for a not good person. And they're like trying to collect the quote unquote freaks for a museum.
Mm-hmm.
And
by collect, we mean kill and put in formaldehyde.
Yes. And then, yes. Well, then there's Dandy. Holy smokes.
Oh, my God. Like so perfectly played. So perfectly portrayed.
Oh, yeah, no.
Everything you would expect.
Finn, like, and then crushed it. Like, and the whole, and then the twisty element, like it's his story so sad. Like you find out why he is the way he is. Like
it's the first time I cried during American Horror
Story.
Dare I say the only.
Yeah. I cried.
I was like, oh my God.
The ties to John Wayne Gacy is always because
I feel it was more of a nod than a tie for sure. Cause Twisty's character himself, that's not who I think Gacy was. I don't think Gacy was like this misunderstood person. I think that Gacy was just awful. And that's what that is. But his like persona totally modeled after Gacy.
Which I think just being from where we're from, it feels like it feels like too close. Like I'm like, no.
Whenever I see Gacy stuff, I like look out my front window. I'm like, it literally could be anywhere. It's so freaky.
At the Days of the Dead convention, which is one of my favorite horror conventions, there's someone who dresses up as Gacy and I hate it. I hate it and I avoid them at all costs. And the last time I went, I was wearing a shirt from The First Degree and it says only you can prevent serial killers, because that's like their tagline of their show. And
hey, I love that shirt.
And it's great. But every time he was walking by me, I would cover it because I'm like, I don't want to invite this conversation. Like, I don't like that you're dressed up as him. Like, it's really disrespectful. Like, I mean, like, you're literally in the area where he was active. This is incredibly disrespectful. And why don't you pick a fictional character? How about that? Not instead of a real person.
I agree. And it raises the question, too, of why are you so comfortable dressing up as that person
mm-hmm,
here?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's wrong with you? And please don't come after me for wearing this shirt. Like, mm-hmm. What?
Well, and that's the thing too. It's like, it's again, because so we're in Illinois, that's where he was active. And it's, I mean, that's the same thing. Yeah. Like that'd be like if someone were to dress up as Dahmer up in Wisconsin. Like what? Yeah. I mean, I don't want,
which they did for Halloween.
I know, which is,
I saw it on like Milwaukee like bar Instagrams and stuff. Yeah. I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. No, it's serial killers are terrible people. Let's not glamorize them.
No, go is Tate Langdon or Landon. Like, right. Go is him. He's fake.
Right. Oh, exactly. That's
who he portrays is real. Right. But he is fake. So go is him. That's fine. Perfect. But like maybe not a serial killer where like their loved ones could be at that convention. Maybe we don't do that.
Right. Well, I mean, maybe let's just not do a period, but.
Yeah. Like, well, that's the thing too. People don't think of like, don't do a period, but people don't think about that of like, if you were to go walk into a Walgreens on your way to the convention, how do you know that that kid's mom, because these people are still alive,
right,
isn't in that Walgreens and you've just destroyed her day, year,
mm-hmm. right?
2 years, whatever it is, like that sets people back so far.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, oh, I hate that.
If you haven't yet, I would watch the documentary Serial Killer Culture.
It's on my list.
Okay. Yeah, no, I would watch that. That's, and then they did like a web series too. Every time I watch that, I just, and then there's a girl on TikTok who also, Miss Pamela J, she calls people out who like wear like serial killer, like merch.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hell yeah, go get them. Like, no, this is, there's a difference.
The only one I've seen that has been accepted though is Elaine Warnos doing this.
Sure.
Because it's representative of a few things. Sure. So.
Yeah. And again, in my undergrad, we watched the documentary and then we watched Monsters. We had to watch the two.
Yep.
There's a difference between being fascinated to learn
mm-hmm.
than like idolizing. Like that's, you know, I mean, there's a reason why true crime is such a huge industry.
Yeah.
But there's a respect to it. And again, like I hate that the serial killers and the killers and the villains of these people's lives are what people remember.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the people who have been lost.
And the show Dahmer.
Yeah.
Fantastic show. Evan Peters did fantastic. Ryan Murphy, all of the actors involved did a wonderful job portraying it. I watched it once. I'll never watch it again.
I've gotten through the first episode.
Yep. I watched it once. I'll never watch it again. It's very good. It's very accurate. But I'm not sitting here going, oh, God, Dahmer. So, like, no. Like, you watch it once, you're done. Same with, like, Zac Efron playing Bundy. Bless you.
Thank you.
Same. You're good. Same with Efron playing Bundy. He did a fantastic job playing Bundy.
Ross Lynch did Dahmer in My Friend Dahmer. My Friend Dahmer is based off of a graphic novel with someone who grew up with him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more of a... Again, that's rooted in like a firsthand account. And I read the graphic novel and the same person who did that one, they also did one for like the Kent State.
Ah.
You know, so I'm like, okay. So like I read that one as well. And you know, again, it's parts of history that's important to know. But again, if I were to see that person now, again, if we go to the Days of the Dead this year and that person was there dressed as Gacy again, I probably would say something.
Yeah, and it's with the culture of it and with dressing up and all of that, it's to watch it and to educate yourself and to be like, yes, I want to watch this because I support this actor and I support the actors in it and I think that they are good at their jobs. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Don't watch it for ideas. My God.
Right.
Like, I guess that's a good thing that we can't fathom that.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But, you know, so Freak Show, I loved it. It's a season I really enjoyed. I love the cast. I loved that. Again, I'm so glad you brought up those behind the scenes interviews. I love that they gave you a chance to get to know these actors and hear more of their story. Because I don't know. I love podcasting, especially with the other shows. Like, I love just hearing people's stories. So I'm like, okay, to be able to get a glimpse into this. And then, you know, but that season. I know some people don't love it, but I'm like, I mean, like there's things that I'm like, whoa, like the Tupperware Party Massacre. Holy moly.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Oh. But like
my Lord.
I like the season. I do. It's in my top three. It's my number two.
I liked, I mean, Dandy was such a great character to hate. Totally like perfect psychopathic serial killer. Perfect representation.
Oh yeah.
And like the spoiled brat. Just playing into that where it's like, I think we all know someone where you look at them and you're like, I could see this for you. I could see you being this person. Like, you've never been told no in your life, so you're entitled to everything.
Maybe not that intense, but yes.
Oh, no. I'm talking about the tantrums.
Just
the tantrums of like, but mother, I want to be this for Halloween. We all know a person like that.
Yeah.
Where it's like, all right. But he did a fantastic job.
Oh, yeah.
Portraying Dandy. I mean, and then Meryl Streep's daughter.
Yeah.
Did wonderful as well. I think this was one of her first roles.
I think so.
Especially independent of her mother. Because, you know, I know that they were in that like Ricky Rocks or something type of movie together. Yes. Where they do play a mother and daughter.
Yes, they do.
So I liked that we just saw her and her acting ability in this one. Overall, fantastic season. I think one of the best endings in American Horror Story history.
I agree.
Yes.
So now from Freak Show, we're going to move on to season 5, which is Hotel. This is centered around the mysterious Hotel Cortez in LA with disturbing and paranormal events overseen by its enigmatic staff. This start date was October 7th, 2015, with the episode titles being Checking In, Shoots and Ladders, Mommy, Devil's Night, Room Service, Room 33, Flicker, The Ten Commandments Killer, She Wants Revenge, She Gets Revenge, Battle Royale, Be Our Guest. So this season only had 12 episodes.
I think that's the first time it's been only 12.
Yes, because everything else. So the first three seasons were all 13, and then it went to. Nope, I lied. God. Nope, Murder House is also 12.
Oh, I was going to say, because I'm looking it up really quick.
Sure.
I thought, it would have been so clever if it was only 12 for the reason that hotels don't have a 13th floor.
Oh, that would have been good.
I would have loved that if they did that on purpose. Anyways, sorry.
You know, this is actually. So season 4 is the last season to have 13 episodes. Everything else is less.
Okay. God, I would have loved that.
That's why. Who knows?
I know.
So Hotel. I did not watch Hotel until very recently.
Really? Interesting. Mm-hmm.
So obviously this is the first season that Jessica Lange isn't in.
Yes.
They brought in Lady Gaga. So where does this rank for you?
Number 5, actually.
It's 6 Fifth for me.
Season. Number 5. Yep. Yeah.
6. Yeah. I think my number 4 is going to trip people up. Actually, my 4 and 5 are going to trip people up. But
I think my number 7 is going to trip people up for sure.
I think watching Hotel later made me have more appreciation for it. Because I remember when that season came out, everyone was like, bleh, 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 bleh. You know, right. They were like, oh my gosh, Lady Gaga is phenomenal.
Yep.
Again, we saw her in A Star Is Born. We know this. But seeing her in Hotel, oh my God.
I love Lady Gaga. I've always been a fan.
Yeah, absolutely. What
I will say is when they were like, Jessica Lange's not going to be on this season, they hadn't announced who's coming in her place, like taking her place. I was like, oh my God, this is going to suck. Like Jessica Lange's the whole show. Da-da-da. And then they announced that it was Lady Gaga. And I was like, I'll allow it. I was like, okay.
I'll allow it.
This is a power move is what this is.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed it. She did phenomenally. I don't know if it was her very first acting role. It may have been. At least under the name of Lady Gaga.
Sure.
I don't know if she has anything under Stephanie. But I was like, if she does not serve. And if the costume department does not help her serve, I will never watch this show again.
I feel like it was a big deal for Lady Gaga to be the one to come in because everybody kind of had these predispositions of her. You know, I mean, I remember
mixed emotions.
Yeah. I mean, I remember, you know, when her first album came out and she had that whole persona.
Right.
You know, like
dress.
Right. And I think that that's what people really rooted it in. Actually, her first acting credit is The Sopranos.
No way.
She was Girl at Swimming Pool Number 2.
Oh, my God.
And then she played herself in Gossip Girl.
Yep. Yes, she did.
And then she was in The Simpsons. Machete Kills.
Well, yeah. Oh.
And then she was also in Sin City. A Dame to Kill For before American Horror Story.
And this is all American Horror Story? Before American Horror Story?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
No, American Horror Story is where her acting really.
And then it was A Star is Born and then House of Gucci. So.
Yeah. And she's also, this is not her last role in American Horror Story, but we'll move on to that later. Mm-hmm. She did phenomenally. I think that this is the perfect season for her. So camp, so over the top.
Oh, yeah.
But so elegant as well. Like, just regal with a touch of, like, modern, you know, essence of it. Did it take place in New York?
It's in LA.
It is in LA.
Because it's supposed to be off of, what is that hotel?
Well, that hotel is based off of Chicago. H.H.
Holmes. No. But yes. Yes. But that's not the actual... Hang on, pump the brakes.
But it's after Cortez.
No, the name is, it's Hotel Cortez is what it is.
Yeah.
But there is the actual hotel in LA.
Yeah, it's called.
What is it called? The Hotel Cortez being in LA is based off of the Hotel Cecil. But to your point.
Cecil.
Yes.
That's where I was getting the C from.
Yes. But the Evan Peters character is based off of H.H. Holmes. So you are correct, but it wasn't the actual hotel. It was the character. So H.H. Holmes is a Chicago-based, another one. That's Devil in the White City too, right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
It's also the video game Devil in Me.
Stop it.
Based around that as well. I'm just saying.
No, you're right. You're right. I didn't mean stop it as a negative. I meant it.
Like if you want something that's similar to playing like what would be a video game for American Horror Story Hotel.
Yeah.
Look it up. Check it out. It's pretty good.
So we were both right, essentially, was the moral of that story. I was like, yes, but.
So it's definitely based off of both of them, where you have the Cecil and then, like, the mysterious era around
I think
supernatural.
Well, I think that's because it's L.A., because the Hotel Cortez is in L.A., which is where Cecil is. But.
And then you have H.H. Holmes' trap doors, hidden walls, hidden rooms where you can like dispose of bodies. Mm-hmm. You see all that and like his torture methods. And they kept it pretty accurate down to him talking in sort of like a good. Well, then.
Oh,
I know. Time period accurate. And even then it wasn't accurate, as we've learned from film history. They talk like that on purpose in film.
Yeah.
Nobody actually talked like that. But. I really enjoyed that he kept that character. I think Evan was really hysterical.
It was great.
And he like nailed it. He just nailed it. I loved it. His accent was perfect.
Oh, it was so good. For argument's sake, I do think that Devil's Night is the best episode in the season.
Yes.
As you mentioned when we were talking about the previous season, that is where all the serial killers. Again, it's one of those things where Ryan Murphy likes to do where there's one night where these people can do their things. One night only.
Halloween night, baby.
Yeah. And, you know, it's Charles Manson's there and Eileen Wuornos is there and the Night Stalker is there. And, you know, it's all of these.
Zodiac.
Yeah.
Dahmer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting that Evan didn't get to play Dahmer twice.
You know, I think that him casting someone else as Dahmer made him realize that Evan needs to be Dahmer.
I really want Evan's next role to just be like a really sweet, like rom-com. I think he deserves
it. Can we get him in a Lifetime Christmas movie, please? Just let this man smile.
Mm-hmm. Heck, I'll take another X-Men movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. He's crazy.
I want Sleepover 2. And all of everybody is their kids are now doing it. And it's the adults. He's a parent. Give me
He's
that.
Like a parent that shows up and he's like, hey guys, little crooked smile.
Oh I love Sleepover. So good. So, you know, I liked Hotel. For me, the biggest thing I remember is the vampire children and then Devil's Night. That's kind of, those are really the big ones for me. And then like them being stuck in the hotel.
Lily playing Elaine Wuornos.
Yes.
Spot on.
Oh yeah.
Freaked me out to the point where I didn't recognize her for the first half of the episode. I'm looking at her like, who is this a new actress they're introducing now? Nope.
Mm-hmm.
That's her. She just embodied it so much. And it was so different from Mrs. Montgomery or Misty.
Mm-hmm.
Like the nun. It was so different that I was like, who is this? And it was her.
Right. Right. It's definitely.
Yeah. And it was a great episode for that reason of you saw everybody and like these different people of like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was just such drastic change. And like they had the nod to like we picked up a young man for you, Dahmer. I was like, okay, maybe we don't, maybe.
Maybe not.
Can we skip that part? Like, maybe we don't include that.
I the other thing I do want to highlight too before we move on to season six is the Ten Commandments killer.
Yes.
It reminds me a lot of Seven with the seven deadly sins.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's an interesting, I mean, so maybe it's a nod to that. Well, it's not, because that's not, I don't know. You know what I'm trying to say? No, I don't.
Yeah. No, I know what you're trying to say.
But
yeah,
it's one of those things where it was interesting the way that they were trying to convince him to finish out the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
Like that was a big part of it where it's like, no, no, I'm good. And it's like, no, you need to continue. Kill, kill, kill.
I think it's definitely them trying to make him finish the job so that he can have his infamy as the serial killer, the Ten Commandments killer.
Yeah.
Surprisingly enough, you know, I don't think this was out at the time of the release of Hotel, but later on we've learned that the Golden State Killer, he was a cop.
Yep.
And that was revealed, and sort of the same thing with this episode of like, cops can easily get away with being serial killers.
I just wish that Michelle Mac Romero was still around to see that, because she did so much work for the Golden State Killer. Yeah. I wish that she was here for that, to see that ending
come to light.
Yes, to see that all of her, and I mean, I don't think it would have been possible without her. So
like, how did nobody else on his force even suspect him? You know what I mean? That bugs me. But with the Ten Commandments, I mean, I think it showed really well too how he was able to disassociate from everything and not even remember what he was doing,
right?
Like true psychosis, like off his rocker.
So just to reiterate, just kind of like drive it home, so James March is the one who started the Ten Commandments, and then John Lowe is the one to finish it.
Yeah,
so that is where it started, and then it's like, you need to finish this.
And it's also, you know, Mr. March, he arguably turns people into serial killers.
What?
Wasn't that part of Devil's Night?
Yes.
With Hotel, where he's like, each of these killers have actually stayed at my hotel before. And I got inside their heads.
Mm-hmm.
Which I found interesting for the storyline.
Yeah.
Of like, huh. Like, that's the one thing that all these killers actually had in common besides being psychotic. I mean, then, of course, you had the storyline for Kathy Bates' character. Mm-hmm. And, like, yeah, the vampires of how Lady Gaga became a vampire. And
the kids were so creepy.
Her lovers are hidden. And it's, I liked that aspect, too.
You know, those.
The kids were my least favorite part.
Oh, they were so creepy.
They were creepy, but, like, I was bored watching them. Like,
is that Bad Seed? Is that what that's, those characters?
Yeah.
Yeah, Bad Seed.
I would think so.
So, yeah, no, I liked Hotel.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was good. I think it's perfect at number five on my list. It's season number five. It was time.
It's a little bit lower for me, but
it was time for a change.
Season six. So it follows supernatural experiences around a haunted house and its surroundings in North Carolina. This start date was actually September 14th, 2016. So it came out a month earlier. And the titles are chapters 1 through chapter 10. So I'm not going to name every single chapter. It's just chapter 1 through 10. This is dead last for me.
Episode 1 is chapter 1. Episode 2.
Chapter 2.
Oh, my God. Yeah. No. This is number 3 for me.
Stop.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
I will be totally honest. I could not finish this season. I gave up.
Really? You should have finished. Promise me you'll finish it.
Yes, I will. But at the time, I was like, I am done. I cannot do this. I'm out.
You'll love the ending. I think it's great.
You know, I don't need to watch a show about a show.
How far did you make it?
Probably halfway.
So I'll take the reins on this one.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Do you care if I spoil it for you? You don't seem like you care.
I just watched all these YouTube videos today about American Horror Story. Yeah, no, you're good.
All right. I loved this episode for a myriad of reasons. Number one, I love those ghost shows where it's like my real life ghost encounter and then it's being reenacted and then they're telling
the
story.
I love those shows. I don't need a fictional. I don't want to see a fictionalized version of it. Sorry.
I love those shows for two reasons. One, they're spooky And yeah. like the true stories are very interesting. And two, yes. sometimes they're done so cheesily where it's like the actor playing them looks absolutely nothing like them. And you're yeah. like, what happened?
My favorite is Paranormal Witness is one of my favorite ones.
Yes.
For that. And then I also really loved when celebrity ghost stories were still going on, when it would be like celebrities talking about their interaction, like their experiences. Like, so yeah, no, I agree with you. I love those kinds of shows, but I don't need to watch a yeah. fake version of a fake show when I can just watch the real thing.
I thought it was so creative.
I didn't.
It's a show and a show and a show. I thought it was so creative. I'm like, this is kind of a storyline or a market that Ryan Murphy really hasn't hit.
Yeah, I definitely didn't love it. I think those are going to be where we differ.
Well, I do like because it showed exactly how those shows go. It wasn't like you felt separate, at least for me. I didn't feel separated when watching it. It felt like one of those shows, like Paranormal Witness. I felt like right. I was watching Paranormal, except I just happened to know all the actors in there.
Sure, yeah.
And I think that was nice because maybe it was more of a challenging role for people like, you know, Lily.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're like, okay, I am in a show, but I have to believe everything that I'm saying, like it happened
right.
to me.
Right.
And
yeah.
same with Sarah Paulson. She had to play Lily's character, whose name is Shelby,
mm-hmm.
and then also play a different character who was playing her, who was playing an actress who's being played by her. It's very complex, and I liked that.
Right. I hated it.
yeah. I think it's just
I hated
like,
it.
I think it's one of those where like you either love that season or you hate it. I've never heard people be like, it was so-so.
Yeah, no, I like I said, that's one of those where I was like, okay, which is so funny because it almost didn't end up dead last for me. Like I really debated back and forth.
Yeah.
But
I thought it was freaky and like sure. creepy with like the teeth falling from the sky and like the witch teeth? Lady as played by Lady Gaga.
I have such a thing with teeth. I can't.
That's why I found it so creepy. I like hated it, but I loved it because I was like, it's raining teeth.
You know,
it was also cool, the buildup for it.
Okay.
Because you didn't know what it was. In all the sure. trailers, it was just a question mark. It's like, what do you mean?
Oh, yeah.
it's like, what do you mean? There's a farmhouse with a question mark. And so everybody had their conspiracy theories going. And yeah. I loved that in the community, that was a conversation. And I think everybody acted really well on it. I think that you need to finish it because the hillbillies being real. And like,
okay, so
the hillbillies were real.
Okay, I will go back and finish it, but I will wait till I'm done house sitting because.
Yeah, wait till you're done house sitting for sure. don't do it now.
That is like the worst, like the best worst part of house sitting is like, oh my gosh, I've lost myself. But then at night, I'm like, fuck, this is scary as shit. Like
you could watch like a scary movie that's based in like the woods.
Okay, but I keep watching. No,
like, middle, like the forest. You could watch that.
Not at one of the houses I'm watching. This one, sure.
Well, that one, yeah.
So we have been going on for, it's probably like an hour and a half. We really sucked at keeping it to 10 minutes per season.
Listen, we got to do what we got to do. But I will say, Roanoke, you're either going to love it or you're going to hate it.
Yeah.
There is no in between. And you're not wrong either way.
Right.
I think that it was such a specific taste.
Right.
And I think he knew going into it of like, this why I'm leaving it as a question mark in the trailers because y'all are going to have opinions.
Right.
Evan Peters' character in it.
Yeah.
Absolutely hilarious.
Amazing. Okay.
He comes in later on playing like a ghost in the show. And then his actual character, whose name is Rory, hysterical.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Dyes his hair red.
Okay.
And it is a... look, it's a serve. I love it.
Amazing.
he can never look bad. And there's a Sarah Paulson line, which is famous off of TikTok, which is from that season, which is, Shelby, no. Oh my God. Like that one. Iconic line. It's a hilarious scene in the middle of an intense moment. Just great. Also, like, kind of deals with grudge-like aspects.
Interesting. Okay.
So you got to go through it. I think you're going to like where it ends up.
Sure. Okay. Okay.
Maybe not, but either way, you should see where it ends up because it's
sure.
Crazy. Yeah.
All right. So any final thoughts before I wrap us up? Because this is going to be a long
one. Yeah, I think Roanoke's underrated.
I will get back to you guys because right now I just don't care for it. But in the meantime, next week we'll be back to finish out the rest of American Horror Story, starting with Cult. But in the meantime, Erica, where can listeners find you?
You can find me on all social medias at Erica is odd, E-R-I-K-A is odd. It will be in the description down below.
Amazing. And then you can find me across the board at Your Girl KJem. And until then, keep it glittery.
And gory.
Bye.
Bye.